Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
It is April 2003, Baghdad. The spring of 2003. Raith Abdulahad is in Baghdad, and his new book, A Stranger in Your Own City, Travels in the Middle East Long War, record from that moment the entry of the Americans into the tragedy and mystery of Iraq in the 20th century and before. Raith, congratulations and good evening. You are in Baghdad observing these moments before the American Armor Column arrives. And at some point, you see a gathering of American soldiers and Iraqis, Baghdad citizens, around a statue of Saddam Hussein in front of the Meridian and Sheraton Hotel. I'm following your reporting. What do you observe, and what does it tell you now, all these years later, about the American presentation to the citizens of Iraq? Good evening to you.
Good evening. I mean, you know, it's the most important image is the image that keep repeating itself again and again on TV, as if it's that image to justify all that came after. I stood there. I saw an American Marine unit. I followed them. I stood in the square and I saw a few Iraqis who tried to topple the statue. And you know, I have to say, the crowd of journalists gathered around the statue, which much larger, much bigger than the Iraqis themselves. And of course, all what you see on TV cameras is a group of Iraqis. But if you expand the lens a bit, if you stand on the other side, you would see a much larger group of journalists, foreign journalists, gathered around the statue, waiting for the statue to be toppled. And of course, eventually, the Marines kind of bring one of their big kind of trucks and one of these armored vehicles and put the noose around the statue and pull down the statue. And that's the image that plays again and again on TV. It's the image, it's the moment I personally thought that this regime was over. But it was not a large Iraqi crowd who toppled the statue of Saddam Hussein.
And that in itself is an introduction to the continual contradictions of the next years of the American presence, 2003 until the formal withdrawal in 2011, although we all know that American presence continues in Iraq and in Kurdistan. We start at that moment because who is Raith Abdulahad at that moment? He's been waiting along with all of Iraq since the American bombing campaign started in the middle of March. The previous month, you have been on a wandering tour. I picture you on a green bicycle. I don't know why. That's the way I read your book. And at one point, you're detained by Iraqi security and you have $250 bills in your shoes. What happens, Raith? And what does that tell you about the old regime?
So it was actually a green bicycle, an old secondhand bicycle. And I was during the war, I was an architect, before the war, even before the war, I was an architect. I loved taking these tours around the city, taking pictures, making some sketches. And during the war, stupidly, I was cycling around the city, taking pictures of bombed buildings, kind of. I thought I need to document that from an architecture perspective. And of course, a man with a camera taking pictures in a city is basically, a spy in the regime's, definition. I was arrested, but the officer who arrested me knew that the game was over, that the Americans were very near. He took my camera, one of my cameras, and I bribed him with a $50 bill. And he let me go, and he told me not to leave the house, which exactly what I did. For 3 days, I locked myself inside the house until my neighbor came knocking at my door and telling me the Americans are here.
The Americans are here. Now, what follows the Americans are here pulling a statue over is the looting of the city. And I picture it as if people are coming out into a world that is entirely new, but they've been stockpiling for days and they don't know whether there's going to be food or water or medicines again. So living through the looting of the city, at least those early days, who was in charge? Anybody? Were people wandering the streets with weapons? Was there a war? Was there a sense of something worse coming? Can you recall for us, Ray?
It was the most absurd contradiction, John. I mean, at one point you have this American army so armed, Abram tanks, armored vehicles, you name it, soldiers. And at the same time, you have utter chaos in the streets. So you have looting, burning, you have people shooting in the middle of the street. So that sense of contradiction, at one point you see those American soldiers standing, sometimes arresting people, sometimes detaining looters, other times just standing by and watching the looting going on. And of course, the contradiction between securing the Ministry of Oil and letting the Iraqi museum getting looted, that is an image that stays in the mind of all Iraqis.
Yes, and it also tells me what you don't see is that the Americans are not organized, extremely not organized for what comes after the fall of the regime. You meet an old man who says the Americans will fix everything. That was a general opinion at the time that the Americans couldn't be this disorganized.
John, I think for most of the Iraqis, they wanted to see the end of this regime of Saddam Hussein. I don't think anyone wanted to see a war, wanted to see another U.S. bombing of Baghdad. I mean, we've been bombed by the Americans in 91, we've been bombed in 98. So no one wanted to see another bombing, but I think everyone wanted to see the end of Saddam. And once the statue was toppled and the regime collapsed, I think most of the Iraqis went into this Faustian deal. Okay, the Americans have invaded. Well, at least they will fix the electricity. They will turn Baghdad into another prosperous town because, this is America again. This is the image the people have of such a well-armed army invading a city. And of course, what follows is, American construction, American reconstruction companies and all this. But the utter chaos, the level of disorganization, it's almost criminal negligence. It is criminal action.
You meet a journalist, James Meek is what my note says, of The Guardian. And you secure a job that's going to lead you to become a journalist yourself. You become a translator. Was that a surprise to you, Raith, that suddenly you are the voice of Baghdad to the London readership?
I mean, of course it was a surprise. I mean, the end of the first day, we kind of hung out and we went around the city and I showed them a couple of buildings. And he says, well, I'm hiring you as a translator. I mean, let alone I don't know anything about journalism. I have no idea how to progress, how to be a fixer in a city at war, how to do journalism. And it's basically, I call myself the accidental journalist, but it started with, doing journalism in my own backyard, going to my own friends and the streets and the neighborhoods before going to different cities and different parts of Iraq. And I want to emphasize this, that part of me was exploring my country for the first time, just like the foreign journalists, because movement was so restricted in Iraq. The regime police and security services, you couldn't just hop on a car and drive all over the country without a purpose, let alone without a proper ID card, which I didn't have. So part of me was going to all these towns and cities, Najaf, Karbala, other parts of Iraq, for the first time, actually.
Braith Abdelahad, the author of A Stranger in Your Own City, travels in the Middle East long war. The Americans have arrived in Baghdad. What is it that they were witnessing? How did we get to this point of the bombings and the war? We need to start when Raith is very young in his father's arms in 1980, witnessing the Iran-Iraq war. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.